Lakers lose game one of the 2020 playoffs to the Portland Trail Blazers, 100-93, the final score. Anthony Davis, 28 points for the Lakers, but just 8 of 24 from the field. Got to the free throw line 17 times, 12 of 17, 11 rebounds. Missed two key free throws for the Lakers there at the end. LeBron James, 23 points, 16 assists, 17 rebounds. 9 of 20 from the field, 4 of 7 from the free throw line. Missed two key free throws for the Los Angeles Lakers there at the end. It didn't just come down to those free throws. And it is kind of interesting. Not 100% sure how to feel here with the Lakers right now. Didn't expect the Lakers to lose game one. I really didn't. And it's no disrespect to the Portland Trail Blazers. We know what they've done so far in this Orlando bubble. 7-2. And then they get to this point. They get an opportunity to play the Lakers. But I think I've convinced myself. I've sold myself. I've talked to Laker fans, you know, over the last couple of weeks. Those games in the bubble, those restart games didn't mean anything to the Lakers. That once the postseason would start, oh, don't worry, we're going to get the Los Angeles Lakers that we've been waiting for. And at least through the first game, it looks pretty identical to what we were watching. And what I'm referring to there is the Lakers' shooting struggles, how they struggled from the three-point line. That part of it continued. So I'm sure there's a lot of Laker fans out there with a ton of different thoughts. I'm sure there's a lot of Laker fans out there that are frustrated with this loss, especially in a game where you expected the Lakers to come out and kind of take control of a series that you don't want to take any chances versus the Portland Trail Blazers. They're a team that's hot. They're a team that's playing well. This is certainly the type of caliber team that's supposed to wake you up if you kind of sleepwalk through the final eight regular season games. This isn't the Memphis Grizzlies. This is not the San Antonio Spurs or the Phoenix Suns. No. This is a Blazers team that has been successful in the playoffs before. Everybody thinks that they shouldn't be an eighth seed. That's just the predicament. Jusuf Nurkić was injured. By the way, Zach Collins didn't even play. Zach Collins was injured, but was injured during the regular season as well. So we all know that this Blazers team has an incredible amount of talent. And the Lakers, up to this point, I don't want to keep merging what we did in the final eight games to this, but it looked incredibly similar to how the Lakers were playing before we got the playoffs started. What I'm referring to from a field goal percentage, so Lakers shot 35% from the field, and then from the three, they're still struggling. 16% from the three, 5 of 32 from the three-point line. Just awful stats, you know, when you look at that. And what's unfortunate is the Lakers played good enough defense to win this game. I mentioned this in the pregame show with Michael, that the Portland Trailblazers were giving up 123 points in those nine games that they played to get here. They gave up 93 points to the Lakers, 30 points off their average of what they've been giving up on the defensive side. So the Lakers' offense continue to struggle. And then you got players, and you know, of course, it's not a shock. Jusuf Nurkić had 16 points and 15 rebounds, but he only had 6 points and 5 rebounds after the first quarter. He was 10 and 10 at the end of the first quarter, and then you could see where his contributions went. Damian Lillard was the Dame that everybody expects in the fourth quarter. 34 points, 5 assists and 5 rebounds, and CJ McCollum with 21 points and 5 rebounds. Had an important stretch there. Played 42 minutes for the Portland Trail Blazers. AD played 39 minutes, by the way, and LeBron played 41. This is the type of game that I think for the Lakers, you understand, all right, there are we're kind of falling into this trap of taking threes. KCP is struggling mightily, as is everybody else from the three-point line. He was 0-for-5. LeBron was 1-for-5. Anthony Davis was 0-for-5. And you could just kind of keep going down that list of players that struggled. Kuz, 1-for-5. So if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut post-game show, you can call in right now. The phone number is 877-710-ESPN and give us your thoughts on this game, what you would have done a little bit different if you thought there was some specific moments where, you know, head coach Frank Vogel, if there were some specific mistakes on the rotation. Me personally, I'll say this, and I tweeted it out with a few minutes left. When I saw Alex Caruso come out of the game and I saw KCP come in the game, that was a head-scratcher for me. That definitely was one where I didn't think that was going to be the case, especially because Alex Caruso was a plus 12 in the plus minus. I thought he had a good stretch of minutes for the Lakers, had three steals, had three assists, was doing what he could on defense, even though he struggled on offense as well. We are proud to partner with the Wallace Firm, a team of lawyers always ready to step up for the people of Southern California. If you have suffered a serious loss, the Wallace Firm are the serious lawyers to get you the W. Call now at 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. I mentioned that we would get a chance, certain predicaments and situations of the game, we'd get a chance to get head coach Frank Vogel's opinion on the Lakers' loss. Lakers lose 100-93, the final score. Here's head coach Frank Vogel.
Hey, Frank, how did you think things worked out with the way Portland was playing defense, packing the paint, the shots that you guys were getting in the offensive flow?
Yeah, we didn't have a great offensive flow. I liked a lot of the looks that we got. Obviously, we shot a really poor percentage from the three-point line. We got to continue to focus on shot quality. But not just at the three-point line, at the rim as well. You know, we passed up, painted great opportunities, and didn't have great shot selection inside. But, you know, I love the competitive spirit of our team, especially on the defensive end. And we knew this team was going to challenge us. So we'll get back to work tomorrow and be ready to go.
Frank, Damian Lillard said in his walk-off interview on TNT that all of the close games they played in the seeding games got them ready for this, got them in that kind of a rhythm. How do you start to try to bridge that gap now as you are in the playoffs now down 0-1?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're up against. You know, obviously it's a different scenario where that team's been playing basically game sevens for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, we've been trying to work guys in and, you know, playing games that don't count in the standings. So, but that's all behind us. That really doesn't mean anything right now. We have to execute and make shots down the stretch.
Hey, Frank, it's Dave. It was tied 89-89 when Dame pulled up from 36 feet, put them up three. Then they got a three from Melo on the next possession. And I think LeBron might have scored, and then Trent got another three. Can you just walk me through your guys' defense on those three possessions, because it seemed to open up the game for the Blazers?
Right. Well, the big bomb that Dame hit, I have to look at the tape on that one. I know he hit a three off of a loose ball. The two guys diving on the floor. Our competitive spirit was off the charts. You know, we just lost that loose ball and swung to Dame. He was a deep three. That might be the one you're referring to. And then, you know, late in the game, Dame's a guy that commands a double team, you know, so we had the right coverage. We're just a step late getting both to Melo and to Trent on the backside threes.
Allie?
Tanya, Ganguly? You talked about how they've been basically playing game sevens for the past 2 weeks, and you guys are still trying to work guys in. Do you have time to figure that out as you go right now?
Of course. You know, it's one game. You know, we're very confident in our group still. And, you know, the time was used the right way. But there's no stimulation like, you know, what they've been in. And now we're in the playoff environment. So, you know, I was pleased with our competitive spirit. We didn't make shots. You know what I mean? I think we're going to shoot the ball better than we saw tonight. And we'll continue to focus on our shooting work and our shot quality.
Kyle Goon?
Frank, LeBron's stat line has never been done in the playoffs before. Obviously losing game one is disappointing, I'm sure, but does that add to any disappointment that LeBron had a game like this and you guys weren't able to find a way to win?
Well, he would have had over 20 assists if we knocked down threes at the rate that we're capable of and at the rate that we will. So, yeah, it's certainly disappointing, you know, to lose this game in all ways, but you know, obviously, with the performance that he had, he was spectacular, and you know, disappointed to lose his game.
Joe Vardon, please.
Frank, we've talked for a year, really, about all the times you coached against him in the playoffs and what that's like, and what he's like. Do you notice a difference in the LeBron that you saw in all those battles with the way he approached today's game?
You know, he's been locked in and attentive and focused all year long. You know, so I think our whole group was obviously a little, you know, the focus intensity was a little more heightened than usual, and that would apply to LeBron.
Mark Medina.
Frank,
point you made about shot quality, what's it going to take to get to what you like there so that the three-point shot struck in?
Remain patient. That's the percentages, law of averages, and continue to work with our guys on identifying the right shots and remaining confident.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Lakers lose to the Blazers 100-93. Said he liked the looks that the Lakers were getting, and I think one thing that really stuck out, he said Portland has been playing game sevens for the last 2 weeks, and that's coming from Damian Lillard's walk-off interview, and that certainly looked like the case. Portland closed better than the Lakers did towards the end. All right, your phone calls coming up next. I know we have a ton of people that want to be a part of the post-game show. They want to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, so we'll get a chance to do that. All coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut post-game show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, Lakers drop game one against the Portland Trailblazers. Look, it's still going to be a long series. We all know that. But at least for this first game, 100-93, the Blazers take care of business against the Lakers. Tonight's smooth finish brought to you by Corona. The best way to celebrate sports is with a cool, refreshing Corona in hand. So grab a Corona today and enjoy your game day beach.
Rebound LeBron. Lakers into the front court. LeBron down the middle. LeBron still dribbling. 360. Spin to the rim and in. Spectacular move by LeBron. Brings the Lakers within single digits. Portland 39 and the Lakers 30. He did a full pirouette, Michael, without even slowing down.
By the way, LeBron's stat line, ridiculous. 23 points, 16 assists, 17 rebounds. Lakers just couldn't get it going on offense. That obviously is the difference of this game. I thought they played well defensively. Only gave up 100 points to the Portland Trailblazers. We've seen some of the numbers Portland have had in Orlando. And for the Lakers to just give up 100, if you'd have said that Lakers would give up 100, you would think Lakers win this game by 10. But that certainly wasn't the case. We got a chance to listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Now we want to take some time to listen to our Laker fans that are out there. So let's go to the phones here real quick. If you want to be a part of the show, it's 877-710-ESPN. Let's start off with Mike calling out from Northridge. Mike, thank you for being a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Oh, yeah, no, buddy. I'm from California, but I said I'm in Long Beach. But I just a lot of coaching decisions I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. I know the Pelicans offered Jason Kidd a job. But if we don't come out this first round, I think Jason Kidd is going to be the next Laker coach.
Mike, what specific – just give me some examples of what you didn't like from a coaching perspective tonight.
JaVale McGee, when he's in the game, he plays the first quarter. He's blocking shots. He's accurate. He's getting rebounds, and then you don't see him for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. You have a KCP. This is the playoffs. If you're not hitting shots, your defense was suspect because every time Lillard was on you, you weren't getting over the picks. He was raining shots on you. So I don't see why he was in the game. You bring in Waiters and J.R. Smith, who has playoff and championship experience. They don't see the floor. And LeBron James, that's a lot of pressure on him. But if him and AD is in the box, they can just double-team, and if you can't hit a shot.
Yeah,
then,
Lakers can't. Mike, and I'll tell you this, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to squeeze in as many calls as I can, so thank you for being a part of the post-game show. Lakers can't hit a shot, and there's definitely no question about that. Lakers struggling from the field. But I will say this. One thing that does stand out to me is what I love watching towards the end of games. A lot of times we talk about, and I always have this question up in the post-game show where Lakers talk, who the five that should end the game for the Lakers? And a lot of times, I get a lot of listeners that say, well, the five that are playing the best. So I get the argument of not having KCP in towards the end of the game because KCP was struggling. Listen, I don't want to pick on KCP. He just had a bad game. He was 0-for-9 from the field, 0-of-5 from the three-point line, had 1 point. Alex Caruso, I thought the time that he was giving the Lakers, Markieff Morris, I thought was giving the Lakers some good minutes as well. it would have been nice to see these players that I thought had better contributions throughout the game close the game. Terry in L.A., thank you for calling in. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
I agree with the earlier caller, but let me add something else since I'm here watching the Sportsnet postgame.
Okay.
I'm tired of hearing about the bubble being different. Okay, mm-hmm. LeBron, I don't want to hear that. Everybody's playing under the same set of circumstances.
You're right, by the way.
And another point you just made. At some point, you have to close with the people that are playing well. Caruso was actually doing well against Damon because he keeps fighting. But on that 1-3, here's the thing that Justin they have to make. Whiteside is setting the screen for Damon Lillard. You can trap Lillard. What's Whiteside going to do behind the three-point line?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do nothing. So there's no reason, because I've seen Davis look to the bench when he gave us a three. There's no reason for Davis to drop because Whiteside's not effective behind the three-point line.
Well, I'll tell you this, Terry. Let me just jump in for a quick second. Anytime Damian Lillard or C.J. McCollum are pulling up for a three, and I know some of those threes are deep from Damian Lillard, that's what they want to do. So from a defensive standpoint, if you make them drive the ball, if you make them try and get to the basket, all of a sudden they're taking a 15-footer. That actually takes them out of their comfort zone. I know that sounds crazy to say, and Terry, I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to get some more calls in. I know when you see somebody pulling up from 35 feet, you'd say to yourself, okay, take the damn shot if you want to take it from 35. But here's the reality. We've seen Damian Lillard do it the entire postseason. He's not afraid to shoot from just inside the half court line. And I know from a defensive standpoint, people are saying to themselves, no, you live and die with that. The problem is Damian Lillard is hitting those shots. And I think the point that was just being made on that double and trap Damian Lillard, I'm with you. Carmelo hit a big three when the Lakers did trap. Gary Trent Jr. hit a big three who really didn't do much and hit a huge three in the fourth quarter. They hit some big shots there towards the end. Paul in Torrance. Paul, thank you for calling into the postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Just to make number one, I thought that Caruso played good, but I would have rather have Markieff Morris in the game instead of KCP that wasn't hitting shots because he brought.
Yeah, I don't understand the KCP part. I really don't. Keep going, Paul. You're okay. Keep going. I just was answering to the point that you were making.
Defensively, we played good. We just didn't knock shots. And mm-hmm. what hurt us was the free throws down the stretch. If AD makes those two free throws and then LeBron makes the other two, we're fine. We're fine. We had this game. It's just we just didn't knock shots. So hopefully for game two, we'll be able to knock shots and we'll win the series.
Paul, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
I'm
going to actually disagree with that. I'm going to disagree with if Anthony Davis hits those two free throws and LeBron James hits those two free throws, we're fine. They never looked fine during the game. It's not like I think we are watching the game and the entire time you're saying, yep, this is it. This is Lakers basketball. Lakers were playing from behind the entire way. Lakers went down. There was a point in the first quarter. They were down 33-17. So you had the Blazers jump all over the Lakers right from the get-go. And yes, a couple possessions here and there could have been the difference. Lakers could have won this game. Even if the Lakers won this game, you would still have some concern. You'd kind of be looking at this game saying, you can't keep shooting 16% from the three-point line and expect to have a long playoff run. I know we're in the moment and we're talking about the Blazers, but the Lakers aren't supposed to be a team that just squeaks by the first round. The Lakers, this is supposed to be a series where you start putting your stamp down so that the first round's preparing you for the second round. The second round's preparing you for the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. That's what it's supposed to be. So I don't think it came down to those four free throws. I'm not going to tell you that obviously helped the Lakers' cause. Of course it didn't. That's a big-time moment where you need LeBron and AD to hit those four free throws. But I don't think that's why the Lakers lost. I think there were times where they looked a little bit lost. I think there were times where the energy just didn't feel, the vibe didn't feel like the way it should. And Portland, let me say this about the Portland Trailblazers that's very unique for the Blazers. You know who's ending the games for the Blazers. There's almost no question about it there. So you have this consistency that the Lakers really don't have right now. That's why I was saying just go with the players that you were having some success with. All right, let me squeeze in another call here. Vincent in Anaheim. Vincent, appreciate you calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Thank you for having me, man. Look, I'll keep it real with you, man. Look, it's a little concerning. Mm-hmm. But like the whole national media, oh, you know, Portland Trail Blazers, they're going to bring a big old challenge. At the end of the day, Caruso, 29 minutes, only 2 points. Mm-hmm. I know he was playing good D, but we need him to score at least, give me at least 6 points. If he would have got Caruso,
8 to 10 points. Yeah, I mean, he played 29 minutes. 8 to 10 would have been nice.
We could have won that game. Oh, I want LeBron. I know it's a lot to ask. He did have a good game. I need him to average 30 points, baby. I need him to get back to that old LeBron. Give me 30 points, and we could have got that game. Don't miss free throws. Come on, man. We can't do that, but it happens. It happens. So at the end of the day, man, like I said, I made a prediction video about this. I think they're going to go. It might go to 7, but the Lakers are going to get it done, and they are going to learn from this and let Lillard guard him when he's way out there. Make him go and shoot the two-pointers.
I'm with you on that.
Back and forth. That's why I totally agreed on you when you said that. Make him shoot the twos because he loves shooting those threes, man.
That's his rhythm. That's his rhythm, Vincent.
Take it. And I'm a Raptors fan, too. So Lakers-Raptors in the finals, baby. You made the best team win.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, Vincent. Okay, let me go to Kyle Kuzma here. Kuz on the night. 14 points. 8 rebounds, 5 of 14 from the field. We'll hear from Kyle Kuzma on the Lakers' 7-point loss to the Portland Trailblazers.
Hey, Kyle. You guys did pretty well on defense tonight, holding Portland to its lowest point total in the bubble, by far, actually. But on offense, you guys struggled. It's kind of been a little bit of a story in the bubble for you guys. What happened out there tonight, in your opinion?
Well, we just didn't hit shots. Plain and simple. We had a lot of wide open looks that we just didn't complete. And, you know, that's kind of the story. I think we did a great job defensively. A few little mess ups, but, you know, not bad for first game.
Yeah, Kyle, you mentioned the open looks. The team shot 15.6% from 3-point range. Is there a way to turn that around in time for game two? It's another issue that's kind of been plaguing you guys really since you got to Orlando.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we got shooters. It's all about really confidence. I think that, you know, coming out the gate, first playoff game, a lot of jitters, you know, just from the team, not so necessarily the jitters, but just, you know, the anxiety and that rush to play. So, you know, if we could just calm down, take our time, because the shots are going to be there all series. You know, they want a crowd to paint, and you got to hit shots.
You know, the good news for you guys, all these games in the first round are every other day. They're really tightly packed. Did you see enough tonight to say, hey, here's what we can do to attack Portland and to beat them in game two on Thursday?
Yeah, for sure. We just got to know what we did wrong, what we can execute on better, and then just erase the game. You know, like you said, every game is every other day. So for us, if we're able to just continue to just, just play with spirit. That's the biggest thing, just play with spirit.
Hey, Kyle, this is Brad here in L.A. You're a very confident player and shooter, but when you guys are all missing shots the way you are, how do you maintain your confidence when you're shooting, like Brad said, 15.6% from 3-point range?
You got to erase your memory. That's part about being confident. If you miss 10 in a row or you made 10 in a row, you got to forget about them. You guys, you got to keep shooting them. You know, I like to say, just shoot till you get hot, and I think we have that capability.
Kyle, how do you think that really long 3-point shot that Dame took toward the end of the quarter changed the game?
Which quarter? Third quarter?
Fourth quarter.
I mean, it was a tough shot. AD was right there up. You know, we just got to tip our hats. He's a hell of a player. He's shooting the ball outrageous in this bubble, and he's shooting it from the parking lot. So, you know, for us, you know, we kind of just got to live and die with it. You know, we just got to be up, make sure we get that contest, and, you know, just hope we miss because he's a great player.
In that particular moment, do you feel like that had a momentum shift, that caused a momentum shift or deflated you guys at all?
Not that one. I think the one with Melo and Trent, you know, they hit the back-to-back threes. You know, that was kind of the one. Obviously, the one Dame had was big, but as the time, you know, kept going down, you know, can't get up to 6 points like that.
Did you see Dame dancing in the corner when he came back, after he hit the three to tie it at 87, he came back on defense. He was dancing to too short. Did you see that happening?
No, I didn't see it, but if you're in a rhythm like that, confident player, do the same. So, you know, tip my hat to him.
With the three-point shooting, to what extent has it still been an issue of just adapting to this, and the depth perception, all that? Is that not really a thing?
I'm not really sure. You know, I feel like it's a little bit easier to shoot in this gym. You know, there's no deficit. It's black behind. You know, it's kind of like that college or high school gym type feel. To an extent. So it's all about confidence. It's all about confidence. Can't make excuses for deficits, back drops, bubble, you know, got to hit shots.
What was the explanation about the rim and all that?
The rims?
Yeah.
White dunked it and head backboard crooked.
Hey, Kyle, it's Bill. Obviously, your first taste of the playoffs, you've been watching this long enough to know how series, you know, are battles back and forth and all that. But just how does it feel to now feel what it's like to be trailing in a series and knowing what you guys need to do to overcome that?
It's a dream come true to be in the playoffs, being this opportunity. And this is where, you know, it just shows who's a dog and who's not. You know, that's kind of what the playoffs is. I think that over the first half, I was a little anxious because it's my first rodeo, but I kind of settled down that second half and really, you know, just took my game. So, you know, game two is in a couple of days, 36 hours.
All right, that's Kyle Kuzma right there. That is a good news for the Lakers. It's just one game, and you got another game coming up on Thursday, so their chance to try and tie the series. Okay, LeBron James coming up next, and more of your guys' phone calls. If you want to be a part of the post-game show, give us your thoughts on what you thought on this first game for the Lakers in the postseason. It's 1-0, the Portland Trail Blazers. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers post-game show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Points in the Paint, not an issue for the Lakers, 50-28. So they dominate. By the way, they should have dominated. That number should have been much higher for the Lakers to just have 50 points in the paint. What I'm referring to there, from a rebounding perspective, Lakers had 17 offensive rebounds to just 5 for the Portland Trail Blazers. So you would have thought that the Lakers took more advantage of that. And also, Lakers struggled so much from the 3-point line. 8 more threes for the Portland Trail Blazers than the Lakers. They only took 2 more as far as attempts go. So a 24-point difference there for the Portland Trail Blazers. That's a big part of the Lakers' loss as well. I do want to take more of your guys' phone calls. We will get a chance to hear from LeBron James here shortly. But let's take a couple quick calls here. Brian, who's listening on the ESPN app. Brian, thank you for calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud. All right, Brian, listening on the app. He'll be there in just.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. So I've got a lot of criticism to dish around. I'm just going to rapid fire some things at you here. I'm going to start off with Anthony Davis. He is playing soft as a roll of Charmin. He's staying outside at the 3-point line more than he's in the paint. I mean, they literally had three guys with 5 fouls. Nobody was attacking the rim. Okay. Outside of that, you got KCP who couldn't hit the ocean, and for some reason Frank Vogel continues to leave him on the floor when really he wasn't even playing that great of defense either. You cannot tell me that Deion Waiters cannot come in and provide a spark and actually hit open shots. And also Quinn Cook has plenty of playoff experience and can hit threes. J.R. Smith, plenty of playoff experience, can hit threes. If we're not making shots, why are these guys or not being on the floor makes no sense. I had reminiscence of Luke Walton, like just stupid lineups being left out there. Dwight Howard, he's given us, you know, energy, offensive rebounds. For some reason, he's not getting more minutes. These rotations make no sense. And lastly, LeBron James, I love him. He played a great game, but he's got to be more aggressive scoring. I know that he wants to get everybody involved and everything like that, but he needs to get his first. I'm telling you right now, if he does not score at least 30 points a game for the rest of the series, it's over. We're not going to win if he does not become more aggressive. We need the Mamba mentality. We're supposed to be on this championship run for Kobe Bryant, and we're playing like a six seed, not a number one seed.
Brian, appreciate the call. Appreciate the call. It's a great call, and all great points. And I can't really disagree with you when it does come. This is one of the points I was making earlier on in the postgame show. I do want to see these players that got a hot hand, or a player that's contributing on the defensive side, or a player that's bringing a certain type of energy that another player is lacking. I want to see them in those final few minutes. You know, I think everybody does. I don't know if tonight was one of those from head coach Frank Vogel that he thought, all right, let me just see if KCP can get going. Let me just see if he gets another opportunity here, if he's going to deliver. Just didn't have it going. But Dwight Howard, who you mentioned, I thought the Quinn Cook name is an interesting name. That's one that Michael Thompson kept mentioning throughout the game, that you have players that are struggling from the three-point line. Throw Quinn Cook in there. See what Quinn Cook will be able to do. I obviously thought that would be a kind of an interesting play for head coach Frank Vogel. The team's going to have to make adjustments, because I think there's only so many times that you could say, well, they're just not hitting shots. We like the shots that we're taking. At some point, you're going to have to start hitting the shots. And if it's not those players who are hitting them, you're going to have to find other guys to come in and contribute. Maybe that's Deion Waiters. Maybe it's J.R. Smith. We'll have to wait and see. J.J. in Whittier on line three calling in. J.J., appreciate you calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Yeah, man. I just like to say I agree with the first two callers. I mean, some of the coaching decisions were really terrible. It was like, you know, it was like a rec league game. You know, Vogel's over there. You know, he keeps these guys in. I mean, this is the playoffs. I mean, you can't mess around with that. And then my point, the reason why I called, was just the energy. It didn't feel like a playoff game. It felt like it was like, you know, like the like October. You know, it felt like November. You know, you sure. Got these games where, you know, they go on a, you know, on the road or something, and they lose a couple games, and, you know, there's no energy. There was zero energy. You know, like if they're at the Staples or the Forum, you know, they would have been, you know, the crowd would have got into it. You know, like especially like when, who was it, Caruso had the dunk, and then, you know, when Kuzma, he started making shots, you know, the crowd would have got into it. And so there was zero energy. So, you know, I'm concerned. And then, you know, LeBron was saying earlier about, you know, something going on with the team. So I don't know what's going on.
I'll say this, JJ, and I do want to actually get to LeBron. So I appreciate you calling into the postgame show. It's just one game, and I'm not here to make excuses, because this certainly has not looked like the playoff or the Laker team that we're accustomed to seeing this season. But without further ado, let's hear from LeBron James. So LeBron with a pretty ridiculous stat line, yet I know there are callers out there that still want him to be aggressive. 23-16-17. What else can LeBron James do? Here's LeBron James on the Lakers' 7-point loss.
Hey, LeBron, spoke so much in the seeding games about offensive rhythm and shots just not going down. Did you see anything different tonight in the way that you guys were creating shots, and if there was anything different that Portland was doing?
We had some great opportunities. We had some great looks. Just didn't knock them down. Nothing you can say about it. You know, we created a lot of great looks. Just one day we'll make them fall.
Seemed like you guys were able to hang in the game with your defense up until those final few minutes when they hit the back-to-back-to-back threes. Anything specifically defensively with LeBron on those possessions that made the difference?
Yeah, we had a couple breakdowns, which you can't have down the stretch, especially versus a team that's red hot like Portland. And those two, you know, the two-headed monsters are the ones who kind of, you know, made the plays. CJ hitting a big three, Dame hitting a couple threes as well. And then Melo hitting the three late, and Gary Trent hitting a three. So they had five threes late in the game. After we had done an exceptional job of trying to keep them up the three-point line. But, you know, they made plays, enough plays to win the game down the stretch, and we didn't.
Hey, LeBron, it's Dave. I know there's going to be a lot of basketball-related questions, and I know my colleagues do a great job asking them. I just wanted to ask two non-game-related questions. One, you weren't on the court for the anthem and the intros. I wanted to see if there was any intention behind that. And two, could you please talk to me about the hat that you're wearing that all of your teammates wore to the game tonight?
You want to know why I wasn't out there?
I don't need to know the specific reason unless there was an intention behind it.
You want to know why I wasn't out there?
No, I think I'm good. Could you talk to me about the hat, please?
You know, it's just something that we continue to put our foot on the gas, continue to pressure. You know, the situation that's going on in Louisville, Kentucky, innocent woman being killed, and by the name of Breonna Taylor, woman who had a bright future, and her life was taken away from her. And there's been no arrest, there's been no justice, not only for her, but for her family. You know, and we want to continue to shed light on that situation. It was just unjust. And, you know, that's what it's about.
Okay, I'm going to take a couple here. Start with Tanya Ganguly.
You know, there's so much talk about the momentum that Portland has built up over the last couple of weeks, and that you guys haven't been in the same situation, obviously. Do you feel like that's something that's hurting you guys right now, the rhythm, not being in rhythm, and how long do you think, how close or how far are you from getting that?
I don't know. I mean, I can answer that question. You play the game the right way, make the extra pass, shoot the shots that's there, try to create two on the basketball. You got numbers on the back end, 4-on-3. And defensively, you have to, you know, key in on the game plan. Can't make mistakes in the postseason. I believe we made some mistakes defensively. So we played hard, but we're just, there's some mistakes that we made, especially going down the stretch. And offensively, we got some really good looks. Just got knocked down. You know, we go 5 for 35 from the three-point line, and we missed 11 free throws. I'm in a close game up until, you know, those last couple minutes. So those are things that we can, you know, the shoot from the outside is things you can't control. You want to shoot better from the free throw line, but the mistakes is things you can control.
Joe Gardner?
Think about you in the playoffs and kind of the theater of it, you know, the flexing and pounding your chest and the destroyer and standing up on the scoreboards and then talking about man in the arena and kind of all that. Did you feel any of that tonight?
I have no idea what that question even means.
Did you feel any of the normal passion and intensity and sort of just the all the things that go into playoff LeBron? Did you feel?
Like I continue to say, this is different. This is different in an aspect of this. I mean, I'm in a bubble with no fans. But as far as me being locked in on the game plan, that doesn't change. Not one bit. Going out and making plays, playing at a high level, try to help our team win. That was the same. Nothing changes from that. You know, so that's the same me.
All right.
Specifically that last sequence in the fourth quarter, Dame hits a three, then Melo hits a three, and Gary Trent and Bleak hits a three. Did Dame's sort of initial shot near half court, do you feel like had a specific momentum effect or change anything about the game?
Obviously, it was a big time shot, but it was a breakdown. It was a breakdown defensively. He makes big shots, he takes big shots. So commend him for that. You know, and on the Melo three, it was a breakdown as well. We didn't get the rotation correct, and the same as the Gary Trent Jr. shot. We were slow on the rotation, so those things that we can control.
Hey, LeBron, you had a historic performance tonight with 15-15 in the playoffs, the first person who's done that. Can you talk about what was your mindset heading into tonight's game? And is there a sense of frustration when you have a performance like that and then the game doesn't go the way you want it to?
My mindset going into the game is to make plays you know, for my team. You know, when I get the opportunity to make plays for myself, more importantly, just, you know, keying in on the keys. Our coach staff gave us a great game plan to go out and execute it, and I just try to not make mistakes. I know mistakes happen throughout the course of the game.
All right, that's LeBron James right there. You know, looking at his performance tonight, and that's actually I think it's so easy we can just go past the box score, 23, 16, and 17. Absolutely ridiculous. One of the things I want to do when we come back, we'll get a chance to take more of your guys' phone calls. So if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show, it's 877-710-ESPN. But we'll also get a chance to hear from Anthony Davis. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers lose to the Blazers 100-93.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Trail the best of seven series one game to none. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. If you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show, you can call in at 877-710-ESPN. Just a reminder, starting tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubon, and Travis, they'll get everybody obviously caught up. This is going to be the storyline, Los Angeles Lakers basketball losing to the Portland Trailblazers. Of course, all our shows tomorrow, this will be the key. So make sure to tune in starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning to get all that coverage. So this will be a big part of the conversation too, what I've got from all these post-game calls, I'm sure on Twitter, on social media, and everything else. The conversation will be, did head coach Frank Vogel, did he play his cards right in game one? Did he make some lineup changes that you wish he didn't? And I've already said, I said it right in the beginning, this will be the conversation over the next, I think, 36 hours or so. Who ends the games? Should KCP have been in towards the end? Should Markieff Morris maybe got some more minutes? Why not use Quinn Cook or Deion Waiters or J.R. Smith if your guys are struggling from the field? So all those questions are going to continue to come up, and I don't think that's going to be any different over the next couple of days. Let me take a couple quick calls here. David in L.A. on line two. David, I appreciate you calling in. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, I just wanted to say, like, I know everybody is, like, disagreeing with Frank Vogel's moves, but, like, you can't really blame him. Like, he's trying to keep KCP confident. He's trying to keep Danny Green confident. Yeah, I think Deion Waiters should be in there because we need, like, a scorer other than LeBron. And Caruso's not a playmaker. Like, Caruso's great on defense, but he doesn't do anything on offense.
Sure.
The only players that I saw, like, come in with a good mentality other than LeBron tonight was Dwight Howard and Kyle Kuzma. Everybody else was just hanging their head low. AD was taking bad shots from the perimeter. I don't know what AD is doing outside of the paint. He should be in the paint. He's a top five, arguably, player in the NBA. Why is he outside?
You know, his numbers, by the way, let me just jump in here. AD's numbers, the 28 points, 11 rebounds, but they still felt quiet. You know what I mean? They didn't seem the numbers aren't bad. It's just they didn't seem like they grab the attention of everyone who's listening to the broadcast or watching on TV and say, oh, AD is making his imprint in his first playoff game with the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think that's right. Fair to say. But David, thank you for calling in. Let me get a couple more calls in here. Peter in Long Beach. Peter, thank you for calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call.
Of course, man.
I agree with a couple of points. I agree with some of the comments. You can't have Alex Caruso play 29 minutes. I don't know what Frank Vogel likes about this player. He can't even make an open shot. He can't make a three-pointer.
Peter, he was effective. Peter, I'm going to actually, you and I can go back and forth for a quick second. On defense, he was effective for the Lakers, had three steals.
If he can't make an open shot, a three-point shot, and then leaving them wide open, he's not helping me. Look at his stats. He can't make a shot.
So let me tell you why it does matter. It does matter because and if we look at the stats, he had the highest plus minus on this Lakers roster, and 50% of the game is on the defensive side. I'm not trying to make an argument that Caruso is Ray Allen and he's going to hit shots. I'm not trying to make that argument at all.
I understand that.
But I also think he was effective at certain stints in this game more than some of the other players, some of the other shooters on this team.
Yeah, and then like you said about Marquise Morris should play more minutes. And AD, like a lot of people, you're making $35, $40 million a year, bud. Go down low. You're 6'10". What are you shooting? You're shooting 0 for 5 from three-point range. Come on. It's ridiculous.
Hopefully they learn from it. And I appreciate you calling in. And I've said this before. If you're the Portland Trailblazers defense and you have Anthony Davis on the perimeter, you already won the battle because you just got to take your chances. He's too talented once he goes down low. So thank you for calling in. All right, one more call in here. Xander, who's listening on the app on line 6, thank you for calling into the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
What's up, guys? Yo, I'm listening to y'all show, and you were talking about the Portland Trailblazers from the 90s, and I was sitting here laughing, and you brought something up. Now, what the Lakers need to do against this Blazers team.
What do they got to do?
They need to really take it down a notch. We understand that the Portland Trailblazers are really good and the Lakers are very good. This is an equal team. But I think the problem is that it sticks out like a sore thumb. I've been listening to you guys talk about LeBron James struggling. You know, he's been getting 28 and 23. And I heard you guys talk about Kuzma also. But I think what the Lakers need to do, they need to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let Portland get those inside paint. Stop them from shooting. Keep them from shooting as much as possible. Let the Lakers get more touches. And if they can keep this up, tonight was not what I expected.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Xander, and I appreciate you calling into the postgame show. I do want to get to Anthony Davis here, who spoke after the game. They'll have another shot coming up this this Thursday, so it's going to be a quick turnaround for the Lakers. Anthony Davis ends up with 28 points, got to the free throw line 17 times, 12 of 17 from the free throw line. Not enough for the Lakers. Struggled from the field, 8 of 24. Lakers lose by 7. Here's AD.
Hey, Anthony, what did you think about the way that Portland defended you? Did anything surprise you based on what your expectations were? And how do you think you guys did in trying to create good offense and good shots?
We're playing for the double team. They didn't double team as much. That kind of left me 1-on-1. In a post, but I was going to have been aggressive and miss a ton of shots tonight. We all did as a team. We just got to be able to take our time and knock down shots from the line and from three. So we'll be fine. We continue to shoot with more confidence and trying to work the kinks out from the 3-point line, and then we'll be fine.
As a team, you guys did struggle from three for much of the seeding games, but you were pretty efficient inside the paint. Tonight, that just didn't happen for whatever reason, as you alluded to, around 45%. What did you see at the rim? Was it something Portland was doing, or why were so many shots getting missed at the rim?
They got a couple good rim protectors, especially Whiteside. He's always tough to score on, especially in the paint. But we missed him easily. Especially in that first half, I missed a couple really easy ones. We just got to play through contact, don't look for the fouls, and just play through it and don't try to let the ref decide the game. We look for fouls early. We just got to play through it and take our time and finish at the rim regardless of the foul.
Anthony, it's Dave. You might have started to answer what my question is going to be with that last answer to Mike, but how do you account for the 8 for 24? Was it maybe needing to play through more contact, and overall your team shooting was another rough night? And what can you do in game two?
Make shots for game two, but just got to take our time at the rim. I say just go strong and finish, or knowing that their rim protectors are gonna come and try to block a shot, dump it to the big guy, or kick it out for threes. But we just gotta make shots, be confident in our process and our work, and when we kick it out to our shooters, be comfortable and take our time and knock down shots, and that's a difference in the game.
Allie?
Kyle Gooden, please.
You know, you mentioned your slow start. How much did LeBron specifically as a playmaker kind of get you confident in going? It seemed like he found you near the rim on drives and transition.
Yeah. I just set a lot of screens for him to get downhill, you know, and I'm rolling to the basket. But we start playing with pace. He's really good when we're running. The team is really good when we're running. And as long as we continue to play with a lot of pace, it's definitely tough to beat us. It's when we slow down and we're not running where we kind of get in trouble. So just trying to play with a lot of energy, and we did that, especially in that second quarter. You know, and when he got the ball and he's pushing, he's looking for guys, and it creates a lane for him to be able to attack the basket. So just got to continue to play with pace and make it tough on their defense.
Okay, Brian.
Another coach I asked this today, does it feel like the playoffs? And with the whole scenario here of where you guys are in this situation, I mean, does today feel different than last Tuesday or than any other day down here?
No, I mean, they all feel the same. Obviously, we know it's the playoffs, but as far as the environment and the atmosphere, I don't think anything really changed.
Did that affect at all what happened today? Were there moments where you said we need a grab?
No, I mean, you know, everything that we did to lose the game was on us, self-inflicted. I said it's a little different, especially in the playoffs when you're on the run or, you know, anything like that. You kind of get that home crowd into it, and they kind of get you going. Put a little pressure on the opposing team, but, you know, we know coming in that it's not going to be that. You know, we only have our bench, so, you know, our bench is trying to make up for the crowd.
All right, that's Anthony Davis right there in his postgame presser. Lakers lose to the Blazers 100-93, the final score. Just a quick reminder, starting tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubon, and Travis get as much Los Angeles Lakers talk as you possibly can. So that's all coming up starting tomorrow at 5 a.m. And just a reminder as well, so the next game for the Lakers, you have this being the first loss of the seven-game set. The good thing for the Lakers, and I think you know, this is one of the advantages you have playing this Orlando bubble. Of course, we all wish it was here at Staples Center and you had that crowd behind the Lakers. But the reality is, even if you get a loss, you got an opportunity in, you know, kind of in a quick turnaround. So coming up this Thursday, our coverage will start again at 4 o'clock. We'll have a two-hour pregame show right here on 710 ESPN. It will be game two of the Lakers against the Portland Trailblazers. This has been the, by the way, thank you to everybody who's been a part of the broadcast, both on social and on air. This has been the Pizza at Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.